You're listening to B-Side, where musicians tell their story of what happens in their life after they step off the stage. Today I'm on the campus of Montclair State University. It's the second largest college in New Jersey, and I'm sitting in on an anthropology class taught by Professor Chris Matthews.
There's violence involved, right? Code of the street is violence is being used to do what?
This class is called The Anthropology of Race, and Professor Matthews specializes in the archaeology of capitalism and race in the United States. He earned his PhD from Columbia in 1998, and he's the author of two books.
And that's the bigger picture here, is that these kids live in an environment where they're constantly under surveillance by police, but more so that they're constantly under the threat of being the victims of violence by police, if not by other people in the neighborhood.
And it's clear Professor Matthews has an easy rapport with his students.
Focusing, looking at me, telling me how awesome I am.
But before Chris Matthews was an anthropologist, an author, and a professor here at Montclair State, this was his gig. That's Shudder to Think with the song Lies About the Sky. The band formed back in 1986. Their debut record came out 3 years later, and in the early 90s, they released three critically acclaimed albums on the iconic DC label Discord Records. After some changes to the lineup, the band toured with Fugazi and Smashing Pumpkins and steadily built a cult following through the 1990s. And the original guitarist for Shudder to Think, the man credited with giving the band its distinctive sound, is none other than Chris Matthews. And this is his B-side. Matthews, thank you so much for doing this.
Sure, my pleasure.
How in the world did you go from guitarist from Shudder to Think to becoming an anthropology professor?
It's not as tricky as it might sound. I was in Shudder to Think, and it was a band I was in with other guys my age, and we were in college and going to college, and even the singer Craig Wedren was at NYU while we were still a DC band, and so he would come down for practice like when he could, and the rest of us would play without him, and we made it work like that. So we always prioritized continuing with school as opposed to just putting the band first. But then what happened is that, whatever the phrase is, push came to shove, we were getting more successful. We really enjoyed playing in the band and going on tour and stuff like that. But we weren't all the same age. And so after a little while, I graduated from college, took a year off, worked doing this and that, and then decided to go to graduate school. And so I went to graduate school at Columbia in New York. And I went to graduate school for anthropology because it's what I majored in college. And I went to George Washington, so I was in D.C. for college. And I majored in it, and I really liked it. Always did. And all different facets of it. But I wanted to... The one that got me the most interested was archaeology. So I pursued a PhD program in archaeology and got into the one at Columbia, which was a great fit for every purpose. And then I did it for a year. And the following summer, I did an excavation project. And at the end of that summer, kind of everyone in the band was like, are we going to just keep going like this? Or are we going to take the next step? And Craig, who was the last to finish college, was really wanted to be in music and said, I want to take the next step. And after a lot of hemming and hawing, I said, I can't do it. I can't commit to doing music as opposed to something, quote unquote, straight, because I just didn't have enough faith in myself, really, that I could make a living at it. It would have been great to do for a while, but I'm not sure I could have made it work for a longer period of time. So I said, okay, I'm done. It was a lot of fun, and please carry on. And they did. That's when Shudder to Think signed to Epic, and Made was probably the band's best record, which was Pony Express. It was fantastic to see that they got to do what they wanted to do. And so I just went and did my own thing. I did a archaeological project in Annapolis, Maryland, and I was there for 4 or 5 years over the summers, learning how to do archaeology, running a project that was my dissertation project and doing my dissertation and eventually finishing it and defending it and getting my PhD in 1998. By then, this is what I was doing. I was in a band. I was in Chartered to Think, and that was great. And I still had a lot of my instruments and everything, but I was definitely well down a different road.
How would you explain to a layperson what it is that you do?
The easiest thing to do is I teach college. I'm a college professor at Montclair State University, but my specialty is historical archaeology, which is the archaeology of the last 500 or so years. Commonly, people think, okay, we dig up sites associated with like colonial houses or Williamsburg or Jamestown or something like that, and that's all correct. But my main interest is looking at the issue of race, especially through the lens of excavating sites where people of African descent or Native American descent lived in the more recent years, whether that's looking at sites where people were enslaved or whether they were independent communities. I've done research on that kind of thing. So it's looking at minority and marginal communities and how they've existed historically. And the main purpose of this is that a lot of communities like that, a lot of people of those backgrounds did not leave a lot in the terms of written records. They were either illiterate or never asked about their lives and weren't documented in other ways, but they were there. And by virtue of being there, they left an archaeological record. And that's the record that forms the basis of my research.
That's Professor Chris Matthews talking about his career as an anthropologist. But what about digging into his musical past? I asked Chris about how he got started as a musician, and the early days of Shudder to Think.
I picked up playing guitar because it seemed cool when I was about 10 or so. And I played with friends in different places. And then I got into a band that was nothing, but I met the people. It was sort of the foundation of Shudder to Think by playing in a show and with some other people and ended up getting to know them. And so that was Stuart Hill and Mike Russell, bass player and the drummer. And they were in a band called Stooge with an umlaut over the U, S-T-U-G-E, you know, like a pretty basic hardcore band. And Stu and I became friends working at Bob's Famous Ice Cream. And we put a show together with my band and his band. My band was like sort of half covers, half like new wave, whatever, not at all punk rock or hardcore. But I learned from Stu and Mike, like, not only about punk rock and hardcore music, but about like the Discord community and all that, and it really appealed to me. So I eventually left the one band and joined Mike and Stu in Stooge, and then I discovered's not the right word, but I met Craig Wedren because he went to the same high school I did, though we weren't there at the same time. So he was a little bit younger. And so after I graduated, I was still around and he showed up and his singing was amazing. So I said, you should be in my band. And so when he joined the band, we renamed it Shudder to Think. And just really the most important part of all of that was how amazing it was to not only make music and be in a band and play guitar, which is something I loved from when I began to play it, but also importantly to write songs and learn how to write songs. What was especially important, I think, and I give Craig a lot of the credit here, was to push ourselves to write more interesting and more compelling songs that built on not just the tradition of hardcore in DC, but also whatever else we'd listen to and whatever else made us feel like it was a good song. And so putting all that together was just an amazing combination. And I think we were really lucky that we met each other, that we were all on board with, like, let's do something interesting. The story actually of the band's name kind of captures that in a way. We call ourselves Shudder to Think because Mike, on driving to band practice, said, I shudder to think that we'd be just another hardcore band. And I think Stu was like, hey, that's a good band name. next thing you know, that's that. But we, you know, we've sort of had that, like, let's do something different. Let's be our own thing. And that was, you know, that's a lesson you learn, not just for a band, but for everything. It's just to kind of like come up and be the music you think, or the scholarship or the parenting or the whatever. Do it the way you think that is right, that you can work together with your peers to do. So it's probably a little bit more meaningful than like sort of juicy stories about like going on tour.
Well, that was actually, mm-hmm. Both of those are of interest, yeah. But the idea that you guys were distinct and different from the rest of the Discord crew, I was going to ask you if you ever felt like you guys were black sheep in that scenario, but it sounds like that was a badge of real honor for you all.
I think it was, and we were, but there's a very welcoming community. Stuart grew up in the same neighborhood where Ian MacKay grew up, and Alec and Amanda, the whole family, and he knew them, you know, through families and neighborhoods and all that.
Ian MacKay is the founder of hardcore band Minor Threat, Fugazi, and Discord Records.
They knew us through Stuart, which was the inn we had. I don't know, otherwise it would have worked out as well in terms of like Discord releasing our music. You know, there was people who challenged, like especially Craig singing, like, what is that? And you know, that's not hardcore. That's not even good music. But I think we had enough to make it count. I guess what I'm saying, sometimes it was challenging. It felt like, oh, we're not, you know, people will stand back and listen to us and the next band comes on and they go crazy and they make a mosh pit and we're like, what are we doing wrong? But I think we eventually realized we're not doing anything wrong. We're just doing what we do.
So tour stories. You just hinted at wild stories.
Not so much wild, but it was fun to be in a band that went on tour and got to go play shows around, you know? It was much more than I ever thought anything, you know, never even dawned on me. And I think Stuart booked most of our shows and he was like, well, they want us to come up and play in Frederick, or they want us to come up and play in like Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, which was like close places that had like their own venues and punk rock scenes that we could go. And it was loads of fun. But our first real tour was with a band called SNFU, who are from Edmonton, Canada. Really great kind of hardcore band. I'm not even sure how we overlap. You'd have to ask Stu. I think he, in the world of like punk rock, maybe even just like wrote to them and they wrote back and shared music. And next thing that, you know, said they were coming through the Northeast and they wanted us to play with them. And it was amazing. So it was great to be able to show, you know, put together a van, which was hilarious. So our van was the captain's quarters, literally, because someone had designed a conversion van with like a steering wheel that was a, what do you call the they have on a boat, whatever, you know, the picture on the side of like a ship captain, you know, like kind of pirate kind of stuff. And so we had this hilarious van, which of course died on the tour. So we finished in a rental van. And and when it died, actually, we were in Cleveland, which is where Craig's mother's family is from. And so we got to stay with his family for a while, which was, you know, entertaining, being a bunch of dirty punk rock kids staying with out in the suburbs with the family. But, you know, they were nice because we were Craig's friends. But then we left the van there, and I think I remember like a year later, Craig was like, they're so pissed that we left the van.
And there it sits to this day, for all we know.
Hopefully not, but yeah.
After three albums on Discord, Chris decided to leave Shudder to Think.
It wasn't easy for any of us. I don't regret, but I really wish I could have done both. You know, I really wish I could have stayed in the band and continued like this, but I couldn't. It was obviously a fairly emotional separation. Being in a band is like being in a marriage. These are people you spend a lot of time with that you're invested in doing well together. And so it was like a mutually agreed upon breakup. I'm just glad that they got to keep going, you know, and that the name continued and the music kept getting made under that name. There was something there in the heart of what we did that it continued even after Mike and I left. I just kind of, I've never really looked back in the sense of like, should I have done something else in terms of other than music? Because I had one thing, I guess I had two pots boiling you could think of, and I just said, okay, I'm gonna turn the fire off underneath that one and I'm gonna make this one work. You know, it's also needed to make a living. So that was how I did it. And plus, I guess it's always had that sense of, these may be stories I'm telling myself, but the sense of like being a college professor is a lot like being a musician or an artist or something, is that you're respected for the work you produce. They give you space and time and sometimes resources to do that work. And so it's not going to an office and working for somebody and doing what they say. It's a lot of autonomy, a lot of self-direction.
And I would think being in the classroom, being in front of students, is not dissimilar to being on stage performing.
Sure. Yeah. As a matter of fact, it's a very fair point. And people have pointed that out to me who have observed me teaching. They say, you seem to be just fine up there. And I'm like, well, I was a musician. And they're like, yeah, that's right.
Despite his busy career in academia, Chris still has time for music. He's launched a new band and he's found himself doing something he never imagined.
So I moved to Montclair, New Jersey, which is a very progressive town that we didn't even know we were moving into because we moved here for my wife's job. And I discovered a lot of really interesting people. And one of the interesting people in town runs an organization called Parents Who Rock. And I'm a parent. And I was in Shudder to Think, and so I still had an interest in playing music. And so her name is Alma Schneider. What she specializes in basically is putting musicians together, because she kind of realized a lot of people move out to Montclair and are musicians, but they sort of aren't playing with anyone anymore, but they want to do something very low key. So she put me together with a singer, and the singer and I played covers with an acoustic guitar and a singer, and it was like pretty neat. I'm playing music again. Parents Who Rock also does a performance, which is basically a backyard barbecue every year or so. And I was going to sign up to play that. And another band was signed up to play. And that band was called Blastaways. I didn't know anything about them, but someone emailed me who found my name on the list of the Bass email, Chris Matthews. And so he wrote, "Are you the Chris Matthews from Shudder to Think? If not, don't worry about it, but just reaching out because I'm Kevin March from Shudder to Think." I was like, "I know Kevin March." That was the connection. It was just sort of like, he knows who I am and I know who he is. And so we met that day and just said, "Wow, what a coincidence," because he had moved to Montclair like I did and was kind of getting settled and starting again. And so I actually started playing with his band Blastaways for a little while, and that didn't work out, but it really got me excited about playing again. And Kevin had expressed an interest in writing songs, so I reached out to him about whether he wanted to write songs together, and he was absolutely excited about doing that. And so along with a bass player who lives in my neighborhood, we started playing music. And Kevin knew Ray Ketchum, who had a studio, and he said, "Why don't we go record some songs?" And next thing you know, we record some songs and they're pretty good. So we keep going, and you know, along the line we decided we needed a name. We didn't have a name for a long time, so we adopted the name Quiz Show, and now we are releasing songs about every other month, and we have about 7 songs I think released now, and as far as I can tell, people like it. And it's a lot of people, like, I hear the Shudder to Think in there, which is really kind of cool. Kevin is also wonderful to play with because he's a huge booster of all morale related to music. He always thinks everything is great about music, which is wonderful. So he made me feel confident. And the thing that's really astounded me about this is he told me I could sing and that I have an interesting voice. And so now I'm a singer in a band, which I never would have thought was ever going to happen, and seems to be happening. So.
And do your students here know about this side of you?
Not so much. I don't advertise it because really it's nothing other than a few songs released on the internet out there. But a couple of times people have figured it out. In the past, especially in an archaeological field school setting, which is a little bit more summer camp feeling, people have just like looked me up on the internet, and then next thing they know, they're watching like a YouTube video of a Shudder to Think performance from 1989 or something, and they come up and they're like, "Is that you?" I'm like, "Yeah, that's me."
Chris Matthews, thank you so much.
Sure, my pleasure. Thanks.
Check out Chris Matthews and his band Quiz Show on Spotify or wherever you stream music. I'm Court Harson, thanks for listening, and tune in next time for another edition of B-Side.